I'm not sure which was more fun, listening to Rhonda sing or watching the hearing impaired as they demonstrated what a beautiful mess looks like. Don't laugh, they were pointing at you. Well, this is the sixth message in a series of six entitled 6 Weeks to a Better You. It all came to light when on the bookshelf shelf one day, I saw a book that told me that if I would eat this and do that and shop here and buy that in 6 weeks, I'd be a better person. And it suddenly occurred to me that there are some things that if all of us would do, it'd just make us better people. And so we've arrived today at the final message from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And I've read this text every week, and I know it's 16 verses, and it's a long text, but it's always the best part of the sermon. And you can say amen, because the scripture is so precious to us today. But today, we'll just take all five of the things that we've talked about these previous weeks, and then put them together and see what the strategic purpose of my life and your life ought to be. I am a little concerned. I have found out secretly that a group of the deacons' wives have been meeting the last couple of weeks, very concerned about the fact that they thought they'd have better husbands in 6 weeks, and things have not gone as they hoped they would. In fact, some of them commented that they're going backward and not forward. But I remind you, you still got one more week, guys. So today is your day, and I want you to know that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul said, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who's the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray together. Father, for 6 weeks now, we've contemplated, we've investigated, we've tried to make application and illustration from this passage of Scripture. And I pray that it has come alive to our hearts and to our understandings. We want to be better husbands and wives, sons and daughters, moms and dads. We want to be better friends, better members, better Christians. We want to be better people. And in this passage, there are spiritual secrets to becoming better. And I pray today that it'll all come together for all of us as you speak to this congregation through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's begin with this thought. If I want to be a better person, and if you're really wanting to be better than you are, number one, we ought to start our day realizing who we are and whose we are. In those first couple of verses, we have been challenged to walk worthy of our calling. And we've looked backward to the first three chapters of Ephesians to find out why the fourth chapter begins with the word therefore. If it is therefore, what's it there for? Chapter 1 tells us we've been chosen in Christ Jesus, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that we've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that if we are Christians, we've been made aware of the mysteries of the Godhead. God has poured out upon us amazing grace. He saved us not by the works of our own hands and our own righteousness, but just according to His grace and mercy and tenderness in our lives. And so if I'm going to be a better person and I can start my day recognizing that and realizing that, and early in the morning I can say, I am a child of God. Nothing is going to come to me today that does not come through a nail-scarred hand. I am safe in His hand. I am secured by His blood. I am His and He is mine. If I can start my day in that manner, I'll be a better person. I'll not wake up blaming someone else. I'll not wake up worried about something. I'll not wake up under a heavy load of strain and stress. I will realize my calling and my challenge. My calling is to God. My challenge is to walk worthy of that calling in the world in which He has placed us. I'm excited today just to announce to you, you're not who you used to be if you're a Christian. You're not who you're going to be if you're a Christian. Best days are yet to come, but you are who you are by the grace of the living God. So wake up every day saying, today is the day the Lord's made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because I belong to Him and He belongs to me. There's a second thing that we studied through these passages, and it's this. If I'm going to be a better person, I need to become a more loving person. In verses 2 and 3, it talks about humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love. And you remember Don Chandler's translation from last week? Bearing with one another in love simply means you got to put up with some stuff. Now, that's a true rendering of the Scripture. If you're a Christian, you're going to discover we're not all the same. You're going to discover that I like some things you don't like and you like some things that I don't. You're going to discover that we've come from different backgrounds and we've got different things in this world that excite us and enthuse us. So what we have to do is learn to love not because of, but in spite of. We learn to love people that we would have never loved had it not been for Christ. We learn to fellowship with people we would have never been around had it not been for Christ. We find a commonality at the foot of the cross. We discover that when a rich man comes to the cross and a poor man comes to the cross, both get saved in exactly the same way. We discover when a man from Arkansas comes to the cross and a man from Africa comes to the cross, they both get saved in the same way. We discover a man with a PhD and a child who is just beginning to go to school, when they come to the cross, they all get saved in the self same way. We discover we must needs go home by way of the cross. There's no other way but this. And we ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross we miss. And I want to tell you this morning, becoming a more loving person is not some idea that you sit around and wait for God to dump love on you. Love is a choice. Now listen to what I just said. Love is a choice. You already have, if you're a Christian, you already have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. What you do with that love and how you spread that love around is a choice. It is your choice. You have been commanded to love the brethren. It's not an option. It's a choice that you make to walk in obedience before God. And by the way, it's how the world knows that we're Christians. You say, I thought they knew that because we all go to church together. No. I thought they knew that because we've all got those little stickers on the back of our car. Some of you don't ought to, but no, that's not it either. Why do they recognize something in us that sets us apart from something in them? By this love, he said, all men shall know you're my disciples indeed. You want to be a better person? Work on your love life. Love the man you'd really like to hate. Love the woman that didn't do you right. Love the person that yanked the rug out from under you. Why, they don't deserve that. Of course not. For God so loved you, and you didn't deserve that. It's not a matter of what we deserve. It's a matter of God's love flowing in and through us. And if you want to be a better person, just fall in love with people God loves, and you'll be a better person. Well, the third thing we talked about in this series was a radical faith. You see, the radical faith comes by recognizing there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who's all and all, through all, and in all. In other words, we're not here to walk by sight. That's how the world does it. If you want to be a better person, you fix your gaze upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and you walk to the beat of a different drummer. You're not at all like this world. You don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't go where the world goes. You don't do what the world does. You've been called out to be a separate person from the world, and you have the responsibility of building up your faith in the Lord. And by the way, that's a radical faith. But it's an easy thing to do if you learn what the Scriptures say. First of all, you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, you lean upon the promises of God. When God says it, you say, that settles it, and I believe it. God said it, that settles it, I believe it, it's His promise. I lean on His promise, and I listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I walk in obedience because I have read, studied, and obey the Word of the living God. I listen to the promise of the God, and I listen to the voice of the Spirit, and all of a sudden my faith increases. I don't have to see it to believe it. If God said it, it's settled. I don't have to know the outcome to trust the one who's guiding me. I'll go out not knowing where I'm going and walk by faith. Abraham did it. If he can, I can, you can, and we can. We're better people when we don't have to know the answer, when we only know the solution and the Savior, and we follow after Him. But Pastor, is that not frightening? I may be telling my age, but in these last years of ministry, I think it's a lot easier to lay down in the arms of the Savior than to sit down on the mess this world is in. I'd rather trust Him, lock, stock, and barrel, as to trust anybody and everybody who makes promises that they cannot possibly keep. Develop this radical faith. The fourth thing I'd suggest you do, and we covered this on the fourth week, is discover and develop your spiritual shape. And before you get offended and say, what's wrong with my shape, I'm not talking about your outer man. I'm talking about who you are in your inner man. Rick Warren says the following: every believer has a different shape. We talked about that. We talked about spiritual gifts and how God supplies every Christian with a spiritual gift. Here's what Rick Warren says: your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. S-H-A-P-E. Spiritual gift, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. God uses those five things to shape you into service. Your spiritual gift. I told you four things about your spiritual gift. Number one, you have one. For you to deny that you have a spiritual gift is in direct conflict with the Word of God. Every true believer has a spiritual gift. Number two, all of our gifts are different. Mine's not like yours. Yours is not like mine. We all have different gifts. Just as in a jigsaw puzzle, all the pieces are slightly different, so that when they ultimately and finally fit together, it will be a beautiful picture. We're all different, and we are for a purpose. God has made us differently so that when we fit together, it'll be a beautiful picture. Number three, When we do not use our spiritual gift as we ought to, it cripples the body of Christ. Just as if you reached into that jigsaw puzzle and picked up a handful of pieces and tossed them to the side, it would never be a complete picture. So it's true in a local church. When some do not fit where they're supposed to fit, when some do not do what they're supposed to do, when some do not serve as they are supposed to serve, the picture is not complete. And the fourth thing I told you about a spiritual gift is we all have one. All of them are different. When we don't use them, we cripple the body of Christ. When we do use our spiritual gifts, it is a beautiful picture of the Father and the Son and the Spirit and their harmony and unity as they work on us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. The local church becomes a beautiful thing to this world and more especially to the Father above when we all fit together in the bond of love. So develop and discover your spiritual gift and begin to use it for the glory of God. And listen, this is absolutely free, but don't forget it. When you're doing what you were created to do, nobody will have to beg you to show up. Nobody will ever have to push you or motivate you. You'll jump out of bed and say, it's the day the Lord's made and I'm ready to go to work for Jesus Christ. Well, number five, not only will you start your day remembering who you are, become a more loving person, pray for this radical faith, discover your spiritual gifts and begin to use them, you need to firm up your biblical foundation. This is so very important. The last several verses talk about maturity in Christ. Talk about every wind of doctrine blowing you one way or the other. Talking about the fact that if you grow up in Christ, you complete the body. And telling you that the only thing that you really need is the truth, but you need it wrapped in love. Not just what you know, but how you feel about what you know. So the very thing that we need to be better people is to study the Word of God, show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing this word of truth. I want to tell you this morning, the B-I-B-L-E, that's a book for me. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. Well, I'm old too. But let me tell you this. This book has been the place where I have buried my head and wept, and God has dried my tears. This book has been the place where I have pleaded with God, make me a better father and show me how to lead my family. This book has been the place where I have bowed down and read it and said, oh God, you've given me so many people and so much responsibility. Now give me wisdom and understanding and guidance and direction so I can lead the people that you've placed under my oversight and help them to know how to live for you in a better way. This book is the book of the ages. This book has buried all its pallbearers. They've gone home and the book's still alive. It's still the best seller. It's still the best book you can read. It starts with a devil and ends up without a devil, and you can't beat this book. It's the book of the ages, and we ought to give God glory for giving us this book this morning. And let me tell you, these last few verses that bring this to a climax challenge us to know the truth, but not in a legalistic way. To know the truth in love so that we can embrace a lost and dying world with a message of hope and a message of salvation. It's not a spiritual poem by any means, but I read it, I suppose, for the first time in junior high, again in high, and have long loved it. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then I took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I would ever be back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Thank you, Robert Frost. You and I stand today at the fork in the road. Are you going to keep on walking the same way you've always walked? If you do, you're just going to keep on getting what you've always gotten. Or would you this morning make a decision to take a road less traveled by? Oh, there will not be many in this service that will choose that road. It's not just that the world says, here's the broad way. It's that often people in the church say, I'm going my way. But there is a road that if you take it, on this road, you'll walk worthy of your calling. On this road, you'll be a more loving person. On this road, you will discover your spiritual gift and develop a radical faith. On this road, you will carry an old weather-stained book that will see you home. It's a road least taken by the great majority. But you stand there this morning and you hear the old man who said, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I want to see a difference in me. I want to see a difference in you. But it's not going to happen if we keep walking the way we've walked. We must take a road less traveled by. May we stand. In the closing moments of this service, some of you have never traveled down Calvary's road. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. There'll be pastors here, and we will gladly share with you the gospel. Some of you today need to say, the road I need to travel is to the altar to become a part of Central Church. I need to be a part of a people, and I need to be in a place where God is worshiped and God is served. And some of you, some of us, we need to come today and say, Pastor, I've just been coasting. I've just been in neutral. I need to be a better person. I need a radical faith. I need to use my spiritual gift. I need to be a more loving person. I need to walk worthy of my call. I need to be founded and firm in my beliefs. And I want to come this morning and say, today I'm going to take the first step on that road that I have not been traveling. I'm changing directions. I'm making a commitment. My life's going to reflect me being a better person in days to come. Pastors, you come, we'll sing together. And if God speaks to your heart today, I do hope you'll listen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool.